Longhorns. We talked a lot about this on the Blitz this week with the Cowboys season coming to an end. And one of those is the offensive line and kind of how numbers can be deceiving. And when you look at the Cowboys and how they graded out, and basically the crux of this was this, Craig, and you saw this firsthand last night in that Rams-Cardinals game. What the NFL playoffs and what the college football playoff have reinforced is that at the highest levels of football, even if you have elite quarterback play, if you don't have the ability to protect said elite quarterback and you don't have the ability to harass said elite quarterback, you got no chance.
Right.
It all boils down to how good is your offense, how good are you along both lines of scrimmage. And the Rams overwhelmed. The Cardinals are one of those teams, you see them twice a year. I saw them play the Cowboys. They've had some injury issues. I know Rodney Hudson was out for a little bit during that losing streak that they had. But their offensive line has kind of been, it's been a little shaky all
yep.
year. And it finally caught up with them last night. The Rams just overwhelmed them at the point of the deck. Similar to the way the 49ers did the Cowboys on Sunday. And when you look at the Cowboys' offensive line, like you look at Pro Football Focus, I think the Cowboys graded out as the best offensive line in football
right.
this year. But ask any Cowboys fan who watches them on a week-to-week basis, especially against the better defensive lines they face, that offensive line tends to get exposed. Like Tyron Smith, I thought Kevin Dunn framed it perfectly yesterday in RBKD. Tyron Smith looked old and slow and
kind of broken down, yeah.
Just looked like a shell of his former self. Connor Williams was just overwhelmed. Basically, if your name's not Zach Martin, you were not good on Sunday. And I started thinking about this in relation to the Texas offensive line. We all know the Texas offensive line did not pass the eye test against the better defensive lines that they faced when it mattered. Go back and watch the Arkansas game, the second half of the Oklahoma game, the second half of Oklahoma State, the second half of Baylor, pretty much the whole Iowa State game. West Virginia's got a really good defensive front. Those defensive fronts expose the Texas offensive line. But Craig, if you're just you're an Ole Miss fan, okay, and you just want to go look at some numbers to say, okay, well, who are some of the best offensive lines in college football this year? You can go to one of the sites I use. Football Outsiders does a great
sure.
job breaking down offensive line metrics. And you could look at the Texas offensive line and look at the following numbers and say, man, Texas had an offensive line that was somewhere between average and maybe in some ways good and maybe even in some ways elite. The Texas offensive line this year, Craig, and I don't have time to break down all these analytics and what they mean, but you get the picture. Line yards per carry, 12th nationally. These are all national rankings. Standard down line yards per carry, 7th. So basically how effective your offensive line is at run blocking. Passing down line yards per carry, 45th. Opportunity rate, 17th. Power success rate, 43rd. Stuff rate allowed, 13th. Now, you get into sack rate, 90th. Standard down sack rate, 110th. Passing down sack rate, 45th. So you think, okay, when you know you've got to throw the ball, you're pretty good at protecting the quarterback. So you look at those numbers and say, man, the Texas offensive line wasn't too bad. But when we talk about areas to improve this offseason, and as Texas starts winter conditioning, what are the big areas where Steve Sarkisian and company have to upgrade this roster, improve this roster, fast-track this roster? That's the one place where you start, is the offensive line. Because like the Cowboys, the eye test against really good defensive fronts tells you it's just not good enough to win at the levels you need to win at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was on display late in the year, obviously, for Texas. It was on display last night, your offensive line. I don't know if theory is the right word, but your hypothesis and the way your take on offensive lines, like you said, was on display again last night in the NFL, and really throughout the course of the whole weekend. Teams that struggle with their offensive lines struggle to get any kind of momentum going. The Eagles struggle.
Facing an elite defensive line like that right. Tampa defensive line, especially with JPP back.
Right.
Look at what Buffalo did to New England. That Buffalo defensive line, really good.
That's why the trench battle is going to be really interesting for the Rams and Tampa because of what Tampa did to stop the run. The Rams do have Cam Akers back. Flip side of that, how's Tristan Wirfs? How are the two offensive linemen, Jensen, the other one, how are those guys banged up in dealing with the Ram defensive front? That's, I think, two key questions going into that matchup on Sunday afternoon.
And then, all you know, that 49ers-Packers game, I haven't seen. Is Bosa going to be available? If he's available, what, you know, how good is he going to be coming off the not that he's a defensive front player, but a front seven player. Man, if that's a San Francisco defense without Fred Warner, it could be a long day for them.
Somebody asked on the Specs text line about the guy who got hurt. It was Stoner. It was Buda Baker, and he's doing better. It was a concussion. A lot of what you saw was precautionary, what they did in immobilizing him and all of those sorts of things. It was a concussion, and he's doing better. I think he's going to be okay. But obviously, his game was finished, and, of course, their year was finished after that. Somebody asked on the Specs text line, hey, Craig, Elton John is on a farewell tour this year. Have you seen him in concert? Yes, and worked him selling T-shirts. This would have been 79, 80, right around the time that was I'm Still Standing was a big hit, and some of those other ones at that time. Little Genie, you know, those it was that worked at Reunion Arena back in the day. And Big Creek fan asking, did Seaway get vocal cord extensions, giving Bob Cole a run for the money, blowing out the bass in my car stereo? No, Bob Cole, I'd have to go a lot deeper to get to Bob Cole level.
Snoop's got some Bob Cole audio buried back there in the archives.
Yeah. It's not deep.
Him screaming?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of deep vocal cords. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you and Bucky talked about this. Did you see the D1Baseball.com top 25 is out?
We did not get to that.
Preseason top 25 is out. Your preseason number one team, the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
Yep. Going to enter the preseason number one in the country.
There's some excitement building there, I think, with this program.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the draft kind of worked in their favor. You know, getting Ivan Melendez back, Tristan Stevens is back, pitching staff, at least a weekend rotation. You figure Tanner Witt's going to factor in there somewhere.
Yep.
Might be the very best in the country. This staff is really confident the Melendez experiment at first base is going to work. Skylar Messinger, the Kansas transfer, had a great fall.
Yeah.
Tremendous fall. Trey Faltini's back, Mitchell Daly, you know the cast of characters. Pretty much, Craig, it seems like every hole they had, maybe with the exception of we don't know what's going to happen in center field yet, replacing Mike Antico, pretty much every other hole this team had has been filled.
Yeah, and young guys coming in that they're excited about as well. We'll have David Pierce join us here coming up in the not-too-distant future to talk about that. East Whitehead, part of that as well.
Austin Todd back for his ninth year.
Yeah, there you go. Sometimes they, you know, people around the Big 12, that dude is still there?
I always talk about those guys in basketball, like George Condon's one of those guys for Iowa State this last weekend.
I'll give you one tonight, Mike McGurl.
I was going to say Mike McGurl is one of those guys.
Mike McGurl, who got rid of the Ja Morant haircut. He had that deal, that weird-looking, spiky kind of girl-looking thing, and he got rid of that. I think he went almost shaved head.
Mike McGurl, who roomed with Denny Clemente when he arrived on campus.
Yeah, right.
It probably takes a decade to grow that out. That's a serious cut.
It is. No doubt about that.
Austin Todd's going to be one of those guys, like you said, Craig, the Big 12 posing Big 12 teams see and say that same stuff about during the baseball season. I'm looking forward to some baseball.
There you go. Up next, we're going to have Inconceivable when we continue with Light the Tower. On the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.